reproves in the gate and turns aside the just by empty words. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. The epistle lesson is found in the 10th chapter of Romans, the 9th through the 17th verse. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia! Alleluia! Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. Alleluia!
The gospel is found in the 7th chapter of Mark, the 31st through the 37th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. And they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 34. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 7th chapter of Mark, the 31st through the 37th verse. And departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, you do not have to read the Gospels for very long before you find Jesus doing miracles. In fact, you'd almost have to skip over pages to miss them. Sometimes it seems that one miracle follows another so quickly they just fly by. And pretty soon they just start to blend into one another. To us, you might even say, they begin to appear mundane. Now, true enough, if you were the one who was there being healed, if you had been blind your whole life or paralyzed or deaf and mute like this man, you would not think the miracle in any way ordinary or common. You would be running around and you would tell everyone about it. And everyone who witnessed it would be doing the same thing. Unlike the charlatan faith healers today who leave people wondering if they really were healed at all, nobody ever doubted the miracles of Jesus. No, not even his enemies. And so when Jesus healed the deaf and the mute man, there was nothing common about this miracle to those who watched it. They were astonished that Jesus did all things well. It didn't matter what it was. Whatever he put his hand to, it was done, no matter how difficult or impossible the thing seemed to be. A man who spent his life utterly unable to speak now spoke so plainly as if he had never been mute at all. How could any work like that ever seem ordinary to anyone? Sometimes when Jesus does such extraordinary things, the Gospels summarize it all with just a few words like, and Jesus healed whoever was brought to him. The lame, the blind, the lepers. Here, however, our text notes the unique manner in which Jesus heals the deaf man. The people presumed that Jesus must surely lay hands upon the person in order for his power to work, that he must make some sort of physical contact. For surely that's what they are familiar with their own healers who asked a blessing from the Lord, laid hands on the person, and then allowed the Lord to do his work if he will, much as Paul asks the elders of our churches to do. Sometimes, however, Jesus does touch people. Sometimes he simply commands them to be healed and they are healed. And sometimes, as with the centurion's servant or the rich man's daughter, he heals from a distance without even saying a word at all. He just tells them to go home. Your loved ones are fine. By healing in all these different ways, Jesus shows us that he is God. And he is not limited by his human nature. He has compassion for all who are in need. And he chooses different means or signs, not for his sake, but for ours, so that we might learn from him. So that we might believe that he is Christ, the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Therefore, Jesus chose to treat this deaf man differently, and we see that he does it in a way that the deaf man himself would understand who it is that would heal him. Jesus healed with a power that was from above, from his Father in heaven. Jesus is not like earthly physicians. He is Christ the healer, not just of deafness and muteness, but of every consequence of sin. He can heal not only the immediate consequences of sin, such as disease or a congenital birth defect, but of the spiritual consequences also. Disease, after all, is a manifestation of something deeper. The sin that infects all men, regardless of how healthy their flesh is. And as sin inevitably leads to death, so disease ultimately ends in death as well. A physician may be able for a time to cure diseases, or to perform surgery to restore, in our day, even something like hearing, in part to a deaf man. But no physician, however skilled, can cure sin. And all of a physician's patients will die in the end. Death is certain for all men, despite the vast sums of money that the modern world has invested into medical research. Only Jesus, however, has the power to end sin and destroy death. Only Jesus has power on earth to forgive sins and to grant eternal life. Sin imposes its own form of deafness upon all men. As we heard in the Old Testament lesson, when Jesus comes, he comes to restore hearing to those who are deaf and sight to the blind, and that refers to all of us as well. For because of sin, men are unable to hear what God has said, even when he speaks so plainly to them. Sin corrupts all our hearing and our speaking, as our tongues speak things unseemly that for Christians to speak. Look at the example of those who watched this miracle. They were astonished at what they had seen. They wanted to tell everyone, but for some reason, Jesus tells them not to. He commands them to tell no one because he knows how deaf people were to the scriptures and how impeded their speech would be as they declared what Jesus had done. He wished them to keep quiet, not because they were wrong in declaring him to be Christ, because he was Christ, but because they did not know the scriptures. They did not know that the kingdom of Christ was a heavenly kingdom. In all their speaking, they were as dumb men, telling of a Christ whom God never promised. Truly, Jesus was Christ. He was the one whom the Father sent into the world to deliver men from the power of the devil. But because man is deaf and blind to the promises of God and always imposing his own personal ideas upon who Jesus is and what his work is to be, they are always expecting the wrong kind of Christ. It would be one thing if they proclaimed Jesus to be the Savior from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Indeed, Jesus sent out his disciples to do this very thing, to preach to all the cities of Israel that Christ had come. But instead, these people had a mind to make him the Savior from tyranny, imperialism, and the power of Rome, rather than from sin, death, and the devil. Therefore, Jesus commands them to tell no one what he has done. If only people would hear the scriptures and tell of the far greater power of Jesus. If they think it is wonderful to see him heal the ears of a deaf man and unloose the tongue of a mute man, how much greater is the miracle that he does when he unlooses our tongues and opens our ears so that we hear the words of his voice and arise from death to life and live and sing his praises and declare his salvation to the ends of the earth. Oh, we love the stories of miracles, of the divine intervention into the affairs of men. But the greater miracle is, what greater miracle is there than when the Son of God became man in order to have compassion upon those who were all their life under the bondage of death? He became man so that he might take upon himself not only our bodily diseases and suffer grief and such sorrow as we know in this life, but also the guilt of our sin and the sorrow of eternal death. That is how great the love of Jesus is for sinners. And since his love is so great that he wants to help us in our need and end the power of sin over us, he has compassion for us also in our bodily weakness, and also for the weakness of our spirits. He does not simply, therefore, touch this man and heal him and go his way. He takes the man aside so that he can speak to him in private and explain to him what is about to happen. But of course, how can you explain anything to a deaf man? A deaf man cannot hear until he's healed. Well, that's not true at all. The deaf can hear just fine. They can understand the words of God. They understand, in this case, sign language. For hearing as God wants us to hear is not simply a matter of hearing sound waves that happen to strike our ears, but hearing God's word and understanding the message which he has given to us. And that message is no less true whether it is spoken with a voice, written in the Bible, or communicated in sign language. And so this is what Jesus does for this man. He brings himself down to his level. He puts his fingers into the man's ears. He spits and touches the man's tongue. And by doing these things, Jesus is telling him that I will heal your ears and I will loose your tongue. But how would Jesus do this? He lifts up his eyes to heaven and he sighs. And you know when you sigh, you can see someone sighing. It's not just a sound. And by this, Jesus shows the man that this healing would come from heaven itself, that it was God's power, God's spirit at work. And the words of Jesus, which he says with his own mouth, are also the words of the Father in heaven. He could speak and it would be done. The physical world must yield to the voice of Jesus, its creator, just as it did when he caused light to shine out of darkness at the beginning with but the word, "Let there be light." And we can be certain that this man understood what Jesus communicated to him, so that when Jesus now speaks a word in Aramaic, "Ephatha," a command, "be opened," the man was then healed. And he knew that this man, Jesus, who healed him, had the power of heaven at his beck and call. All this Jesus did so that the man would not merely be healed, but might believe on him and be saved. And all these things Jesus did so that we might know that he comes to us where we are, in our life and in our needs. And he uses such things as signs, a sign language, so to speak. Things like earthly elements like his spittle, or the touch of his fingers on a man's ears or tongue, or his spoken voice, or the elements of the water in baptism, or the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. And with all of these earthly things, he brings us his goodness. And by so showing us what he does for people like the deaf man, or on another occasion like the blind man whom he put mud in his eye to heal him, he teaches us that we should not despise the simple things that Jesus himself chooses to use to bring his divine heavenly power to us. That we should not despise baptism or the Lord's Supper or the word which he causes to be preached from Christian pulpits or sung in Christian hymns. Because even though these are earthly things, he puts his heavenly power in them, and with them he heals us. There he teaches us that he is Christ the King of a heavenly kingdom, and that we are his welcome guests, and more than guests, his fellow heirs of eternal life. It is only when we understand that Jesus is the Lord's promised Christ who has the power of heaven itself that we can believe what our eyes cannot see and our ears cannot hear. For the people, and certainly the deaf and mute man, understood well enough that Jesus could heal the body, but only by believing the words and promises of God could they also believe that Jesus is the Savior for the soul. This healing of the man's ears and tongue was nothing compared to the greater healing that Jesus worked through faith. He cleansed the guilty conscience from sin. He rescues men from the power of the devil, and he gives to them eternal life. That is the true work of Christ. That is where he is your Savior. It is only because men are deaf and dumb that they can only understand the physical healing which Jesus worked, and from this conclude that the nature of Jesus' work on this earth is entirely physical and earthly. And isn't that exactly how men continue to take the words and power of Jesus to this day? The wonderful works which Jesus had done should cause all men to believe that he is the Lord's Christ who delivers them from God's wrath. But instead, they seek Jesus for nothing but the earthly benefits that they might receive from him. They seek not a Jesus who saves from sin, death, and the devil, but from debt, broken marriage, or a mundane life, or from having disobedient children, or an unfulfilling job, or boring friends, or a boring life. But Jesus did not come here to save your 401k or your reputation. He did not come to make your business successful or your relationships fulfilling. He helps you in many things, in many of these very things, in fact. He does lend aid in your financial troubles or your bodily illness, because he does have compassion on you. But that is not his chief work in your life. It is not even a necessary work. And very often, when we cry out for deliverance from these things, he tells us no, because you have the one thing that you need. For the one thing that you need above all others is the forgiveness of sins. What good will it do for you if your life is rich and fulfilled, if it ends in sin and eternal death? It is better to live poor and sick and yet be saved than to have every benefit of this life and lose eternal life. Therefore, if God has touched your life with his power and healed your body, or has given to you patience and support in your troubles so that you may bear with your weakness, remember the compassion of your Lord Jesus, who seeks you in your need and desires your help. He may not work in you some great miracle. He may only remind you of his loving kindness, his tender and steadfast love for you. But is he then any less your loving Lord Jesus? How often he has indeed intervened in your life when you did not always see or hear his activity, when you were in great distress and when the world seemed to be crashing down around you and his help seemed so far away. He did not then abandon you. He remained with you until finally the trouble passed. He worked through simple earthly things then, and you lived another day, and you had food and shelter and family and friends, and could gather together once more in the assembly of his church to hear his word and to receive his body and blood, and so to be blessed with things far richer and greater than anything you could possibly find in this life. Therefore, let the words and the sacraments of Jesus touch your ears today and loose your tongues, so that you may hear of his compassion for sinners and of his great mercy whereby he has made atonement for your sin, so that you might yet praise him for his great salvation and tell all men what he has done for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Restore us. Let us pray.
O Lord, the light of thy people and the saving strength of thine anointed, we thank thee for the gift of thy word, in which thou hast given us the glorious revelation of thyself, and of thy grace in thy Son Jesus Christ, the incarnate word, in whom we are made righteous before thee, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Send forth thy word into the world, implant it in the hearts of people everywhere, that they may be made wise unto salvation, so that they, being delivered from ungodliness, the power of Satan, and the fear of death, may live to serve and praise thee in righteousness and purity forever. And as thy word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, let it probe like a sharp sword, showing us the evil and the good, that thus examined we may repent of our sins, seek thy mercy in Jesus Christ, and thereby escape thy judgment of condemnation. Let thy word everywhere consume thine enemies like fire, and like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, let it destroy all oppression, tyranny, and every abominable thing. Pour out thy word upon every nation, that their eyes may be opened, and their hearts turned from falsehood and error, idolatry and evil works. Open their ears to hear the words of thy truth, that the day may dawn in their souls as light in a dark place, and that the day star of Christ, implanted by thy Spirit, may arise in their hearts. Let thy word shine within our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love, serve one another in kindness, and find increase in joy in this life and that which is to come. Give the Spirit of Christ richly to all who are sick or are suffering from any adversity of body or spirit, and grant that they may discover that he does all things well, turning our afflictions into divine blessings. This we pray in the name of him who gave himself for us, that we might ever live through him, even Jesus our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 375.
up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus, given unto death for your sins. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of Jesus, shed for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thank you.
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fountain, source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have hymn 47.
His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.